Awesome. Well, here it is, Easter. Hey, you know, it's exciting because this is the day the cross was powerful. Obviously, the cross was powerful because Christ died on the cross for our sins. And now we have eternal life with Jesus Christ when we accept the forgiveness from him for our sins. But if it was just that, it wouldn't be enough. It's more. Because that morning, that Sunday morning, the women went down to finish the embalming of Jesus' body. And when they got there, he wasn't there. He's risen. Even the angel said, "So what are you looking for him here for?" He ain't here. That's not proper English, but it's true. He just ain't here. He is risen, and he's alive today, and he lives inside of you. Isn't that awesome? So we're going to look at through the cross. We're going to spend some time in through the cross. Not going through the cross, because Jesus did that for us, but what's it like to walk on the other side? What's it like to take what Christ did, receive it to yourself, and then walk in that until one day he comes back to catch away his bride, the church? In John 11:25, it says this: "The one who believes in me will live even though they die." Almost a contradictory statement. But you're going to die physically. I know that's probably not that encouraging. But someday, Jesus knows, or God says in the Psalms, that every day that you have, God knows about it before there was yet one of them. So I don't know when your number's up, and I don't know when my number's up, but until my number's up, I'm going to do all I can to learn more about Jesus, because when my number's up, I'm going home. I'm going home to a place I've never been, but I'll be there forever and ever and ever and ever with God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. I'm looking forward to that. Now, I don't really want it to happen now, because the prophecy has come true. I bought an F-150, 4x4, fancy truck, and so I don't want Jesus to come back for at least till the fall. So, and I bought a trailer to go with it, and so that's what I want to do, is I want to have at least one summer in this thing, so I'm really hoping he doesn't come back like on Wednesday or something like that. I know it's kind of selfish, but when you see the truck and trailer, you'll understand why. Okay, so the prophecy has come true. Now I won't be talking about that anymore. But I just want you to know that he's coming back for his church. Honestly, that's the truth. He said, "If I go away, I will come back. And while I'm away, I'm going to build you this mansion." I don't know whether you've driven down 2 Road lately, but there is some mansions going on there. Like, there's more square footage than there is in our church. It's awesome. They're beautiful homes. But that's nothing. You hear me? That's nothing compared to what Jesus has already built. He's already built this for us. Death that leads to life. Colossians 1 says this: "The Son is the image of the invisible God." So when you see Jesus, you see the Father. "The firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him," including us. "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body. He's the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that everything, in everything, he might have this total supremacy." You like it? "For God was pleased to have the fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself to all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, to be by the making of peace," listen, through his blood shed on the cross. Peace. How many of you have peace in your life? That if you have Jesus, you have the option of peace. You have the option of peace because he lives inside you. Peace is not a concept. Peace is a person. And he lives inside of you. And when all things seem to go really tough, he still is peace. And he gives you that. And it runs deep. And its storms could be all around you. And I know some people go through some storms. I've been through some myself. But in the midst of the storm, he is the anchor. And that anchors the peace of Jesus Christ. And that's the beauty of it. And if we can have that, if we can start to exercise that, if we can see that inside of ourselves, we're going to live a totally different type of life by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And we're going to be taking communion in a few minutes. Their scripture says, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it doesn't give life. And so Jesus said in Matthew 27, and when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up the spirit. His life was not taken. Understand that. The devil did not kill Jesus. He gave his life up. He endured more than any physical human being could absolutely endure, in the floggings and the beatings and the ridicule and all that type of stuff. If you watch The Passion of Christ, it'll make you sick. And that's just probably a third of what really took place. And then they cruelly nailed him to a cross and then dropped that cross in a hole, and it would shake all his bones. The muscles were already weakened. And then he would suffocate on that cross. He would die so that we might live. He would die, and it would have been a dark, sad day on Good Friday for those who followed him. Because here's this man who said he was going to rise again, now he's dead. And he took that cold body down and put it in the tomb. And then they wondered, is this really going to happen? Yeah, it's really going to happen. It's just going to take a few days. It's going to happen. What does that mean to us today? It's going to happen. We are going to be risen with Christ. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. And so we have that promise inside of us. So when he gave up his spirit, this is what happened. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. That's a pretty big, thick curtain. And it just ripped in two. You know what that meant? It meant the power of God, obviously, because it was about 20 feet high, I think, in there. And so it wasn't some of the priests went up there and just did the telephone book thing, you know, ripped the telephone book in half. It wasn't any of them. It was the power of God. And it split that curtain that kept man from God. We can go into the throne room, into the Holy of Holies, what would take somebody's life if they had sin in their life. We can go in and we can plead our case to the Father. We can ask for forgiveness and we get it. We can walk into the throne room of God. Can you imagine? The holy place, the Holy of Holies. We can walk in there. Because the veil was torn in half. And there's no more door. Jesus is the door. I think he went up there and just kind of ripped it apart. I don't think he was kind of a mamsy-pamsy guy. I think he was pretty manly. I really do. And then it says, and then the earth shook. You ever been in an earthquake? It's pretty cool. I mean, it was minor stuff. It was like, I remember being in Parksville, and we have this 10,000 square foot building, and it was all on a slab, just a concrete slab. And that earthquake happened in Mount St. Helens there, and it blew the volcano came, and it was like I was sitting in my office, and I felt like I was on like a 10,000 square foot snowboard. It was just like, and I'm thinking, this is awesome. Then I thought, maybe I should get out of here, because. Because there's big steel beams above my head, and I'm thinking they could probably hurt quite a bit. But there was just such a power there. It was so awesome to experience. So can you imagine? Jesus gave up the ghost in the temple, inside. Everything was opened up inside of you everything's opened up if you'll let him. And then outside, death couldn't hold them either. And so I don't know, you can imagine walking by the graveyard that day. And all of a sudden, all the dirt kicks up. And people come out that you knew were dead because you went to their funeral. And I just think that's so cool. I don't know what I would do about that. I remember when I was a kid, there's a guy named Frenchy Medore in our town, and he was an old guy, and he don't like this, you know, Frenchy Medore. Hello, kid. That's what he would say to us, little kids all the time. And one day somebody said, oh, Frenchy Medore died. And I thought, oh, that's really sad, because he was kind of one of those small town iconic people, you know, singing Jimmy and there's a few others there that, you know, like old Tex and all these guys that used to sit by the post office, and us kids would go down old Virginia and all these guys. And they were there kind of, so old Frenchy Medore was one of these guys. And so I'm 16 years old, I'm driving up by the hospital, and here comes Frenchy Medore. And I'm going, I didn't know much about He Is Risen, but I don't think Frenchy Medore was going to be risen. But it scared me because he was supposed to be dead. Can you imagine if these people that you know were dead come bouncing out of their graves and go all around town celebrating and shouting, and they would not be very quiet? Do you think? I think that'd be awesome. I love that kind of story because, you see, death cannot overcome him. We sang that. Death cannot overcome him. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection, and they went into the holy city and appeared. So there's two times and they came out. They came out after his resurrection, but they also came out at when he said it is finished. So it would have been a death-defying weekend. It would have been awesome. I think after a couple of people popping out of the graves, I think people would be a little bit nervous to be around the graveyards that weekend. I just think it would be so cool. And they appeared to many people. What would you do if somebody who was dead came and said, hey, I'm alive? Would you want to touch them? Would you ask them if they're hungry? What's it like being there? What's it like, you know? What would it be like? Like, you're dead and now you're alive. And so Jesus wants to show us spiritually that when he said it's finished, spiritually we were dead, now we're alive. And we come out of that grave that held us, and we are free. We are free from addictions. We are free from fear. We're free from all the things that hold us back. We're free because of Jesus Christ. The graves that held us, while we were yet dead in our sins, he came and set us free and gave us life. Hallelujah. When the centurion and those who were with him were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and what happened, they were terrified and they exclaimed, this has got to be the Son of God. This is the Son of God. When it's finished, it's finished. 1 Corinthians 4 says this, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, not crushed, perplexed, not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. We always carry around in our bodies the death of Christ so that the life of Christ may be revealed in our body. We need to live communion. We can't just do it once a week or once every month when we get together as a family. We need to live communion. We need to understand that we are dead to our sins and alive to Christ because Christ died for our sins and we are alive in him. We need to do that every morning. We need to get up in the morning and say, God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for who you are in my life. What are we going to do today? Not, what am I going to get you to do today? You know, have you ever had those days? Well, God, this is the list. Let's get her done. He just wants to hang out with you. He wants to fellowship with you. We always carry around in our body the death of Christ so that the life of Christ might be revealed in that body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Christ's sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Do you know that that's what God wants you to understand about this relationship? It's not religion. There's a lot of religions in this world, and they do a lot of things to keep in a good stance with their religion, good place with their religion. They do a lot of things. Christ has done everything. When he said, "It is finished," it is finished. Isn't that wonderful? So sickness is finished. Death is finished. Fear, addictions are finished. The things that hold you back, the things that stop you from being who you are in him. Like, you're not dead anymore. You're alive. And if you've seen little children, they're alive. They're just running around and they don't care. They're just so full of life. Right, bud? Look at this little baby, just so full of life. And they're so full of life at 3 a.m. too, aren't they? And full of other things. And if they're not full of something, then they're even worse. So it's just that there's a fullness, and we need to understand that God wants us to live in that. We're his kids. He wants us to live and enjoy life, and the enemy's come to kill, steal, and destroy. And you know what he wants to kill, steal, and destroy? Is the life that Christ gave to you abundantly. And we need to live it. If we live that, we're going to live such a powerful life in this world. Our lives are going to shine like that sun out there every day. And I know that when the sun comes out, I'm a lot happier. Sorry, but that's the way I am. When it's cloudy and gray, it's not as much fun. When it's raining hard, it's not as much fun. It's a psychological thing, I know, but you know what? There's something that runs deeper than psychology with the Spirit of God living inside of you. You are alive in Christ. You are alive in Jesus. So let's have some time around the communion table. We're going to pass these emblems out, and this morning I'm just going to encourage you to take the emblem and then go ahead and actually take part in it. You don't have to wait for everybody. Just take the bread and the wine or the grape juice and just thank God for what Jesus did. And so I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for communion. Thank you for this symbol of a reminder of the power of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What an awesome day. And so as we partake in this, would you refresh us and encourage us in our spirit and in our soul and our body? We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're on the other side of the cross now. He's not on the cross. We see crucifixes with him on the cross. He's not in the grave. Although they think they know where the grave is, and they know where the cross is, and they have enough splinters. I heard one time that there's enough splinters from the cross that have been sold to build a 15-unit motel. Because it's crazy. It's not the cross. It's the power of death and the resurrection. It's not the Holy Grail that we just took part in as a symbol. It's the blood of Christ that washes us clean. It is not something, it's someone. And we have to remember, it's someone, it's not something. And so we don't want to have a relationship with an organization that is something. We want to have a relationship with the living God who is someone, and he lives inside of you, Jesus. That's what we want. Hallelujah. So we're on the other side of the cross. So what does that mean? There's death benefits. You ever thought of it that way? There's death benefits. Like, this is the estate of Jesus Christ. But he's there to share it with you. Psalm 103 says this: "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sin and heals all your diseases." Not some, all. "Who redeems your life from the pit and who crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like that of an eagle." Hebrews says this: "Unlike the higher priests, other higher priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once and for all." No more sacrifices. When we're in India, they're still sacrificing. They're taking animals and they're sacrificing. No more sacrifices. Jesus Christ became the sacrifice for us. He sacrificed for their sins once and for all when he offered himself. Hebrews 9:12 says, "He did not enter by means of the blood of the goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once and for all." I love that, once and for all. "By his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption." He doesn't have to go back because his blood was spotless and without blemish. It was the first Adam sinned, the second Adam, Christ, came pure. He who knew no sin was made sin on our behalf that we might come the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. He who had no sin. He who had no sin led the way. He who had no sin was baptized in water. He who had no sin took all our sin upon him. So with that gift, he might become, and we might become, the righteousness of God. Are you excited about that?